special Christmas program. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Hello and welcome to this special Christmas program. I'm Jerry Stewart. It's the Christmas season all across America and the world. It's a time we celebrate something, someone, oh so special, the birth of our Savior, the Christ child. But is the Christmas season the only time we should be celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ? I've got this tie. Some would call it a Christmas tie. On this tie is a star shining above the tiny manger, and inside the manger is a mother holding her newborn child. It's the nativity scene. But I don't just wear the tie at Christmas. I wear it all year. And some say, nice tie, but why are you wearing a Christmas tie when it's not even Christmas? My answer? Simply this. Every day, during all the seasons, we should be remembering the Christ child. Why? Because this Christ child is our reminder that God loves us so very much. Not just on Christmas, but always, every day, all the time. What a wonderful assurance. But sadly, some today in America are determined to push Christ and His message of love out of Christmas altogether. It was the night of the citywide holiday celebration, and those in charge had ordered, this is not to be a program focusing on the Christ child. As the children prepared to sing one song entitled Christmas Love, the children held up their cards, spelling out the name of that song. But one little girl, the one holding the M in Christmas, accidentally turned her card upside down. Instead of an M, it became a W. So when they all held up their cards, what did the message say? Christ was love. You see, try as you may to take Christ out of Christmas, but here's the truth. Without Christ's love, there is no Christmas. And have you noticed how hard some are determined to change our Christmas holiday altogether? How cashiers in stores are being told that they can't say Merry Christmas? Instead, they say Happy Holidays or something to that effect. It's like some in America are trying to, well, kidnap the real purpose of this very special holiday. The story is told of a small church in a big city that one night, just two nights before Christmas, the statue of the baby Jesus was taken from the church manger scene. And when the priest discovered that the statue had been stolen, he contacted the police. Why would anyone be so cruel, so heartless, as to steal the baby Jesus? Police scoured the area, checked in pawn shops, garbage dumps, anywhere to find the little statue. Finally, on Christmas Eve, they had to admit they had no clue, no lead. The baby Jesus was gone. As the people left the church service that night, sad that anyone could be so mean and cruel, out on the street they saw a young boy, a very small boy, and behind him he pulled a shiny red wagon. And as the little boy came closer, as the people stopped to see him approaching out of the darkness, they noticed that there was something in his wagon. And finally, as he came fully into the light, there it was, sitting in that shiny red wagon. There it was, the statue of the little baby Jesus. The police were curious to know where the young boy had found the statue in hopes that they could capture the thieves. But to their surprise, the little boy told them that there had been no thief. He had taken the baby Jesus. But why? And that's when he told the story of his family, just how poor they all were, and how badly he wanted for Christmas a new red wagon. But there was no chance for his parents to buy him anything that special for Christmas. So he said that he came to the church, to the manger scene, and he asked the baby Jesus if he would give him a wagon for Christmas. It seems foolish to us, a boy praying to a statue, to give him a wagon. But the request, the prayer by the little boy, was not to a statue, but to God. And to the little boy's sheer delight that night, when he returned home, there it was, a shiny red wagon. The baby Jesus had heard his prayer. But why, said the priest, why did you take the statue? The little boy's answer was simply this. He had told the baby Jesus that if he would help him get his new wagon, that the first to ride in the wagon was, you got it, the first to ride in his wagon would be the baby Jesus. He had taken him home for a ride in his wagon. Now he was bringing him back. So just where did the wagon come from? Well, each year, the local fire department would ask for old toys to be given to them so that they could fix up these old toys, make them like new, and give them to the poor families. They were the ones who had brought the little boy his shiny red wagon. But who really gave the little boy his wagon? You tell me. So you see, Christmas is about so much more than money and shopping and presents under the tree. And today, on this very special Christmas program, I'm going to tell you some amazing stories. You will hear the story of one six-year-old boy, a boy that I know quite well, who was asked to sing on a live local TV show in 1954, and just what happened when a strange man pushing a box got into his way on live TV. And each year, so many children send letters to God. Yeah, to God. I will share with you some of these letters. No wonder the Bible says that a little child shall lead us. And do you know the real story of St. Nicholas? Yeah, he was a real person who became a real saint because of his love for God and of all mankind. It's a great story of selfless giving that most have never even known. How about this one? How did we come to have a Christmas tree? And who is Boniface? And why do we place presents under that tree at Christmas? And finally, what we are all waiting to hear, the true and wonderful story of that first Christmas over 2,000 years ago. But watch out, that story may be a little different than you remember. But first, here are a few pieces of Christmas trivia you may not know. For example, when did we first have Christmas lights? You may have never thought about it this way, but the first Christmas light was that star, the star God placed in the sky that first Christmas, which led the wise men and the shepherds to that manger in Bethlehem. But did you know that originally when people trimmed their Christmas trees, they actually placed burning candles on the limbs? And even though these candles were beautiful, needless to say, they were also a huge fire hazard. In fact, most households kept buckets of water standing around the living room just in case their tree caught on fire. But finally, in 1895, Ralph Morris, a telephone company employee, saw the string of lights that lit up the telephone switchboard and got a great idea to put the string of lights on his Christmas tree. Well, almost immediately, the idea caught on, and today, Christmas lights are everywhere, and much safer. Thank you, Mr. Morris. And here's a piece of Christmas trivia to amaze and impress your friends. When was Christmas first celebrated in America? You say it must have been the colonists in Jamestown, 1607. That's probably true, but here's one for you. All the way back in 1492, when Christopher Columbus was busy discovering America, he made his way south, below Florida, to the tiny island of Haiti. And on Christmas Eve, his ship was wrecked on a coral reef. The Indian chief who was the ruler of Haiti saw what had happened to Columbus, and he and his tribe helped remove valuables from the wreck. And that next day, Christmas Day, Columbus dined with the Indian chief. And at this spot, a small fortress was built to honor the day, and it was named La Navidad, the Nativity. And here's one. How did Xmas come to stand for Christmas? Well, for the longest time, when I saw that X, it made me feel terrible that Christ was actually being removed from Christmas. But then I learned something. The X in Xmas is actually equivalent to the Greek sound CH, as in Christmas, which means Christ. But no matter what, even if X does stand for Christ, I still prefer to see the written word. Don't you? I'm Jerry Stewart. I'm taking a break now, but before I leave, I can't resist telling you one Christmas joke. When the teacher asked the children what was the occupation of the wise men, one of the children popped his arm right up and said, I know, the wise men were firemen. The teacher was confused. Firemen? How do you know that? He said, simple. When they came, it's told that they had just come from afar. I love Christmas. I'm taking a break now, but when I return, I'll tell you the wonderful story of Saint Nicholas. We'll be back with more of this special Christmas program after these messages. Are you looking for something different to get your children, your grandchildren, or family members for Christmas this year? How about a subscription to our website, where they will get so many great stories of our history that are written in audio and video? And the subscription is for the whole family, not just per person. So a family with several children can have all of the opportunity to learn more about our American history together. And we need that. So go to www.jerrystewartusa.com and sign up now for the best patriot gift that you can give this year. It's up to us to make sure the next generation understands where we have come from and be the next leaders to stand up and keep our nation free. For more information or to get your own Patriot sign-up gift now, go to www.jerrystewartusa.com or call our office at 817-995-6965. God bless you and Merry Christmas. If you're enjoying this special holiday program today and you'd like to know how to get your own copy, you can visit my website at www.jerrystewartusa.com. All of the information is right there. Or you can call our office at 817-995-6965 and someone will answer to help you. Or you may be thinking about getting today's order packet as a Christmas present for that special patriotic someone. And I can tell you that these programs do make great gifts. So if you'd like to know more about our work and to read some great stories, just go to my website at jerrystewartusa.com, and there are hundreds of great true stories of America right there, and they are all free for you to read and enjoy. Once again, thanks so much for listening, for supporting my programs, and thanks for being a great American. Now, enjoy the rest of the show, and God bless you.
Hey everybody, it's Trucker Randy, the Yo-Yo Diet King. I have literally lost hundreds of pounds in my life. SlimFast in the 90s, Nutrisystem in 2000, South Beach, Superfoods, they all worked in the short term, only to gain it all back, plus some. Now that I'm 65, I really wanted to find a program that would increase my metabolism to burn my belly fat, bring my hormones back to my younger days without any exercising. Then I met Missy, a MyPure Health Solutions. She explained how her program does exactly what I was looking for. Go to TruckerRandyHealth.com, follow my journey with Missy, and see that I dropped 22 pounds of body fat in the first 14 days without exercising and eating real foods. Again, go to TruckerRandyHealth.com and schedule a free consultation. Or call Missy at 269-964-4044. Let Missy change your metabolism just like she's changed mine. Do it today. Montana Black Angus beef raised in Onaway, Michigan. Tolini Farms have been raising their cows by feeding them non-GMO corn, barley, wheat, and alfalfa hay, all grown on their own farm. Taking the Eagles for processing, aged, standard cut, vacuum sealed, and frozen, ready for immediate delivery directly to you. Call them today at 989-733-2782 for their current $4 per hanging weight pound. Quarters or halves will feed your family for a year. Call them right now at 989-733-2782.
Hi, this is Ian Murphy from the Iron Pig Smokehouse in downtown Gaylord. Join me every Tuesday at 10 a.m. with Trucker Randy for an update on all things happening at the Iron Pig. We're open 7 days a week and serving breakfast Saturdays and Sundays. You can order online anytime for takeout, curbside, and delivery at ironpigsmoke.com. And be sure to keep up with our legal battle against the health department by subscribing to our podcast at fuelcasttv.com.
had enough of career politicians? I have. Hi, I'm Dr. Sherry O'Donnell, running for U.S. Senate. It is time to cure Washington of politics as usual. I have the backbone, knowledge, and guts to fix illegal immigration, inflation, and national security. I will protect our freedoms. It is time we cure what ails America. Vote Dr. Sherry O'Donnell for U.S. Senate. Paid for by Dr. Sherry for Senate.
Are you tired of governments invading your online privacy? Introducing Legendary VPN Services. With our VPN, you can browse the internet with confidence, knowing your personal information is shielded from prying eyes. Say goodbye to hackers and corporate thieves. Our cutting-edge encryption ensures your browsing history remains confidential, even on public Wi-Fi. Protect your privacy today with our reliable and lightning-fast Legendary VPN service. Visit legendarysystems.net or call 231-818-8349. Your privacy is our priority.
On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me a partridge in a pear tree.
Hello, and welcome back to this special Christmas program. I'm Jerry Stewart. In our last segment, we talked about a number of the bizarre traditions of Christmas, along with some beautiful stories of Christmas, stories that the children, even us older children, love to hear. Now, a few weeks before Christmas, a good friend visited our home to give Kelly and me a Christmas gift. It was a plaque that says it all in one word. Believe. Believe. And that's what Christmas is all about. About believing who the Christ child really was, believing not just in our heads, but in our hearts. But the believing doesn't, can't stop there. We must believe that He came to save our souls by giving us the most magnificent gift of all, Himself. Wow. But who are the ones who seem most apt to believe at Christmas? It's the children. They believe. When the bells of Christmas ring, so many today have just turned their beautiful melody off. They just don't hear. But not the children. They are still faithful, still believing. That's why the Bible tells us that to know God, we must have the faith of a little child. And speaking of God and children, I was recently sent a number of God letters, actual letters sent by children to God. And these letters tell it all. Listen to a few God letters sent by the children. This one's from a little boy named Neil. Dear God, he says, I went to this wedding and they kissed right in church. Is that okay? And then from Jane, Dear God, instead of letting people die and having to make new ones, why don't you just keep the ones you got now? Good question. And here's a good one. Dear God, I am an American. What are you? And talk about faith. Listen to this one from Mickey D. Dear God, if you watch in church on Sunday, I will show you my new shoes. He knew that God was with him. And from Larry, he said, Dear God, maybe Cain and Abel would not kill each other so much if they had their own rooms. It works with me and my brother. And then finally, and I think this one pretty much sums it up nicely. It's from Nan. Dear God, I bet it is very hard for you to love all of everybody in the whole world. There are only 4 people in my family, and I can never do it. Yep, God loves everyone in the world. The children know it. Do you know it? Do you know that God loves you? It's His very special gift just to you. And speaking of gifts and gift giving, there's someone else that we think about at Christmas. He has many names around the world. Santa Claus, Sinterklaas, Kris Kringle, Old Saint Nick. And if any of you tend to be doubters of his existence, Saint Nicholas is very real. And he was sainted years ago because of his great kindness. Listen to this story. His name was Nicholas, and he was born over 1,600 years ago in the Far East. He was a very kind and helpful boy, and when he grew up, he became a great man of God. So great that when he died, he was given the title of a saint, Saint Nicholas. And Saint Nicholas loved children. He loved them so much that he was made the first patron saint of children. Now, there's so much to tell about St. Nicholas, of his kindness and his brave acts for God that caused him to actually be imprisoned for his faith in God. But there is one story told which explains how he first became recognized as the man we know today as Santa Claus. In Santa Claus's St. Nick's town, there lived a poor man with three daughters. He was so very poor that he was ready to send his three daughters out to beg for food. But it had happened that not long before, Nicholas had come into a great fortune. So he decided to secretly help this poor man and his family. So late one night, Nicholas went to the man's home. He saw an open window and threw a bag of gold into the man's house. And on three separate nights, St. Nicholas went to that man's house, each time throwing in a bag of gold, until that third night, the man actually saw Nicholas perform his act of kindness. Nicholas explained that he loved to help people and to give gifts, especially to children, and that he loved to do it secretly. The man knew that Nicholas was a kind man of God, and he kept his secret. And today, 1,600 years later, St. Nick, Santa Claus, is still at work. Now, for many of you, that's probably the first time that you've heard the true story of how St. Nicholas, Santa Claus, first got his start. And it's easy to see how Santa Claus chose Christmas as his day to be a gift giver. Because of the Christ child's wonderful gift. But just where did the tradition of the Christmas tree get its start? And why is it that tree? Well, I've heard a lot of stories and theories about how the Christmas tree came to be, but here's the one I like best. It was around the late 600s AD. There was a man born in Devonshire, England, who was given the name Winfred. Now, when he grew up, Winfred became a missionary, and he spent most of his ministry among the pagan tribes of Germany. In fact, his tireless work there as a missionary earned him the title of the Apostle of Germany. It was the year 1723 when Pope Gregory II made Winfred a bishop and gave him the name Boniface. Years later, he became an archbishop himself and devoted his entire life to converting the pagans to Christianity until the year 755 when he was killed by a mob of disbelievers. But you say, what does this man, Saint Boniface, have to do with how Christmas trees ever got started? Okay, here's the story. Early in his missionary work, Boniface came across a group of pagan people who were about to sacrifice a young boy to their pagan god. They believed that this oak tree was sacred to their god and that sacrifices of young boys under that tree would appease an angry god. Well, Boniface saw what they were about to do to kill the innocent young boy, and he somehow stopped them and actually chopped down that sacred oak tree. Now, I found nothing to tell me just how he was able to do all that without being killed himself, but with God's help, he must have surely been a very impressive and compelling man. So, the young boy was saved, and sometime later, after the people were converted to Christ, they visited the site of that chopped down oak tree, and to their amazement, a young fir tree had grown in its place. Just what did that mean? Well, Boniface told the new converts that this fir was to be their new holy tree, that it was the tree of peace and the tree of Christ. And according to this story, this is where the traditions of the Christmas tree began. But just why all the lights and decorations at Christmas? Well, it actually makes perfect sense. If the Christmas tree is truly the tree of Christ, then it should surely have lights on it, because Christ is the light of the world. Okay, so one last story before our break. It's not a tree or a bush. It's a parasite. But at Christmas time, people love it. Why? Well, its name means tree thief. But strangely enough, some believe it's a magical plant that wards off disease. Hunters place it in their hats to bring good luck for the hunt. Young girls put it under their pillows to bring sweet dreams. It is even the official flower of the state of Oklahoma. So just what seemingly useless parasite am I talking about? It's mistletoe. And it's magical, all right. Stand under it and see what happens. You get a kiss. Now, none of us today.